Welcome, every DC fan, to the latest episode of DC Comics News Podcast. This is episode 183. I'm your host, Brad Flicky, and with me today is freshly back from Fan Expo. It is Sharna. So welcome again, Sharna. It's good to have you back. How you been doing?
I've been doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Yes, of course. All right, so we can jump right into the news stories. The first bit of news that we have is a bit of sad news. We learned about the passing of Arlene Sorkin, who was the original voice of Harley Quinn in the animated series. And that was, that's certainly a loss. What was your take on this?
Oh, I love, that's most women fans. We all love Harley Quinn, and Paul Dini is the creator. And her voice being so iconic, it was such a hard news to hear that. It's something you don't forget. And she played so many. It wasn't just Batman the animated series. It was Superman the animated series. Into the 90s and 2000s that Harley was there, with that voice, hey, I put in, it was very sad news at such a young age.
Yeah, 67. Usually when we talk about these passings, it's people in their 80s and 90s. And this she was really young. And that's probably the saddest thing about the story is that she probably had so much more to give. And it's interesting to note that she was friends with Paul Dini. And yeah, she did. She played Harley in a lot of different series. She was a very well-noted voice actress and was married to Christopher Lloyd, the iconic TV producer that produced Modern Family, I believe, and Big Bang Theory, among other things. So it's, I didn't realize that she had that much clout, in the business. And I think the saddest thing is just how young she was. She was only 67, but we certainly wish her friends and family condolences at such a hard time. But yeah, that was a big loss. And with that, we will move on to our movie news. First bit of movie news is something that, with all the madness going on, is good news, and that is that Aquaman and Lost Kingdom is not going to be pushed back. It will still release in December, it looks like, and that I think that's really good news. So what do you think of this?
Yeah, that's really good news. I mean, considering, it's sad what's going on right now with the actors and writers strike. They absolutely deserve everything that they're asking for. But all these things are getting pushed back. The Dune Part 2, it's pushed to March 15th, 2024 from November. And also Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, has been pushed too. So these are all Warner Brothers stuff. So it's nice to see that, okay, this is something that's on track. And one thing DC kills at is the animated movie. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I didn't think that it was going to be released in December. And I think with films getting pushed back, it's going to leave a lot more open room for Aquaman to maybe make more money at the box office for a longer period of time. Usually you see a big drop off the second week of a movie's release, and with a little less competition, maybe Aquaman will do even better. And it seems to also show that Warner Brothers believes in the project, that they don't want to delay it. They want to get it out and get in front of people and let them see it. And I think that's a good sign too. At this point, I like you said, we want the actors and writers to get everything they ask for. And I'm willing to wait if that happens, but it is kind of nice to know that we are going to get this in December. Up next, of course, it wouldn't be movie news these days without some talk of James Gunn and the upcoming Superman and DC Universe. We hear that James Gunn is very prolific on social media and Twitter. He responds to fans, and he teases that DCU is going to have a very a detailed world map. So that means kind of in a geographical sense. So we're going to know where Gotham City is. We're going to know where Metropolis is. It seems like before now it was up for kind of discussion or up for the writers to figure out where they actually are in America. But with this upcoming new era in DC, that's going to change, and it's going to have a very detailed world map. James Gunn did talk to somebody on Twitter. It was Joey Misfit, and I'll just go ahead and read what he said. Here's a question I think you're more likely to answer. Have you given any thought to the lay of the land in the DCU, where the different cities that the heroes operate are on map? Will they all be right next to each other or spread out across the country like the source material? DC has some great cities with their own identities. I hope that we get to see that. And James Gunn's response was, we are creating an incredible detailed world map. As much as James Gunn does respond to people, he is still very cryptic, and that doesn't say a lot, but it is intriguing. And also, he was asked by, this is kind of separate, but he was asked by Ari85, I would like some of the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy to guest star in the next season of Peacemaker as themselves, like Chris Pratt being himself or Pom being herself. And James Gunn's response was, there are reasons I wouldn't want either of those actors to put themselves in the DCU. So what was your interpretation of these quotes and his answers and you know what's in store for the DCU? Oh,
I think this goes with everyone, but we're also excited to have like James Gunn taking all these projects on. And I think a big part of like why the DCU was like struggling is because of their world building was definitely a weaker point of them. So I think like creating like maps, an intricate world map or geographically like a universe makes the audience feel more immersed and love the characters and know their settings a lot more. So I think he's doing a great start to build that. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And also his last comment was really funny that he doesn't want either of those characters to play. I think that's always like good to pick actors that, you know, challenge who they are. You know, you want to see these people in roles that blow you away, not roles like you expect them. Oh, like, you know, we all, like, I love Ben Affleck so much as Batman. And one of the reasons was like, I don't know, a lot of people like during social media at the time were just like, Ben Affleck, Batman? But then like, he had such a positive response. So it's always cool to see that juxtaposition. So yeah. Funny remark.
I think it's a very gutsy move and very confident for him to say, we're going to build this map. If he is thinking in those terms of geography, because once you set that in stone, it's going to be set in stone for what's potentially the next 10 years of movies. So that makes me think that he has a clear vision in his head of exactly what's going to happen in his vision of the DCU. And that's intriguing. But maybe he's just trying to, you know, kick you off the scent a little bit. And maybe that detailed world map isn't necessarily a map of a world at all, but just the overall DC world, whether that is the way that the comics intertwine with the movies and the TV and things like that. So I think he's being a little cryptic. So we'll see. And as far as I really want to know what these reasons are that he wouldn't want these actors. Does he have in mind ways to bring them in to these movies in other roles? Does he have an idea of who he wants them to play? Because one thing you know, the Guardians are probably my favorite Marvel movies. And one of the main reasons why that is because the cast has such great chemistry and James Gunn brings that out. And for that period of time when he was kicked off, when he was fired from Guardians, all the cast came to his defense. So he's got a lot, the people that work with him seem to love him, and maybe he's got that little, hey, remember how much fun we had making Guardians? Let's come back and do this other project. So maybe he has ideas of who he wants them to play. I'm really curious what he means. So I guess, you know, we'll find out, but it's moving kind of slow at this point. So it might be, you know, it might be a little while before we figure that one out. So we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely intriguing. And up next, looks like the Batman movie for the DCU is being not necessarily delayed, but it's not quite as far ahead as we would like. Batman Brave and the Bold, the script has not been written yet. So people had their rumors that it had been, but it's not. But we do know that it will involve Bruce Wayne and Damian Wayne. And of course, there hasn't been any casting. So, you know, my question to you, and we talked a little bit about this before we started to record, first, what did you think of the story? And second, do you have anybody that you would like to play Batman and Damian Wayne in the next, in this new upcoming Batman movie?
It's not progressing. I'm like, I understand, but also like we're getting like so many things coming out very soon that I'm okay waiting for, like, you know, a stellar Batman movie, you know, so it's okay. It's not progressing. Yes, for fan casting. I was mentioning, yes, Cillian Murphy for Bruce Wayne. I mean, he has that like look with also like the piercing blue eyes. I feel like that would look really good as Bruce and as Batman. He has that like, I don't know. I watched Oppenheimer. I loved it. I've seen it three times. It's so good. I think you would make a fantastic Bruce Wayne with that egotistical, you know, playboy move. For Damian Wayne, I'm not sure. Do you have any ideas for Damian?
I don't. And I don't, you know, it's hard for me to even have any ideas for Batman or Bruce at this point. Just because I think it's going to be a long time before we see this. One of those reasons being is that we still have the Matt Reeves Batman world that people really like. And there's a lot coming down the pike for that between the Penguin series and the sequel. So I don't think DC's ready to take some of that thunder away by doing a whole nother Batman movie. So I think it's going to be a while before we see this made. So especially when it comes to Damian Wayne, I think that that's probably going to be an actor that we don't know about yet.
Might not even be born.
Because it's going to be that long that he's going to have to be young. And I just don't know if he's even out there yet. It might be somebody that we don't even know. Cillian Murphy's a good choice. But and the thing is, like I couldn't even say who would want to play Batman or Bruce because we don't really know the foundations of the story. You know, we don't know. I mean, I guess we know that he's going to be old enough to be a father, but we don't know exactly how old Batman's going to be. And you mentioned that you loved Ben Affleck as Batman. I did. I liked him as well. But the one thing that always kind of that irked me about it was just the fact that he seemed a little old. He seemed like an old Batman. And that seemed like a missed opportunity. Why would you have a younger Batman where you can have all these stories that looked like he was already halfway out of being Batman, you know? So I would appreciate a younger actor. And again, if you go fast forward in time a few years, maybe Cillian Murphy will be too old. So maybe it's even somebody that's still up and coming that we're not quite see in that way that they could play Bruce Wayne. So it's going to be fun. I guess at the end of the day, it's going to be fun to watch that film come together. And by that time, I think we'll have a definite more solid idea of what this new DCU is going to be. So I'm looking forward to the news, but, you know, I'm willing to wait if it's going to be good. I know we had the Batman, the Matt Reeves Batman sequel coming up, and I know that the strike is delaying things. So I'm willing to say, okay, I can wait on this a little bit. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And up next, we have more Superman news from James Gunn, and he kind of said that it's not going to be a young Superman story. Okay, now what did you think of this?
I mean, yeah, like we know Superman's story, like we know Batman's story, so I think it's leaving that part out is more than fine. And again, as you were saying, that I think this is something that's gonna I guess they said there is a date arriving 2025. Is that right? They think, wow, yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's really coming together. Excited to see it evolve and what to expect. Looks very exciting, interesting.
My thing with this is that James Gunn is putting his foot in his mouth a little bit. Because it seemed like at one point he did say it was going to be a young Superman story. And now he's coming and saying that in the initial stages, our story will be focusing on an earlier part of Superman's life. So the character will not be played by Henry Cavill. Well, now if it's not a young Superman, well, you're going to have to backpedal and really come up with a reason why Cavill wasn't cast. And it could be just be the nature of the story of where, I guess there is a gray area in a younger Superman. It doesn't have to be Superboy, but it could be slightly younger than Cavill. I don't know. You know,
pretty small village.
Yeah, and we know that David Cornsweet was cast, so Henry Cavill is definitely out. And you know, we're going to get Rachel Brosnahan, who we've talked about on this podcast, being Lois Lane. I think that's a great casting choice. You know, I have not been disappointed by a James Gunn movie. So I'm willing to trust his vision, I think he's gonna have a lot to answer for with the Henry Cavill thing, because that was something that fans were really kind of excited about, with him coming back and being the Black Adam. So I trust you, James, but you're gonna have to deliver. But at the end, I think he will. I do think he will.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I'm same with you. Haven't been disappointed yet. But yeah, he's giving us a lot of information. It's a lot
of information, but not really saying anything. So it's fun. It's fun to try to guess, you know. I'm just glad you mentioned with everything getting delayed, and we talked about the strike, you know, a lot. But so far, the actor strike might delay things. But the good thing is that this was written before the strike. In fact, I think James Gunn came out and said he finished it right before the strike. So that's going to save a lot of time. And that means production can move forward. So that's good. So that means hopefully we will get to see this in 2025. It won't be delayed. So that's a hopefully at least one good thing we've got going on. And now that casting is moving forward, so thankfully it's starting to take shape, even amidst the chaos of the strike. And our last bit of movie news is that Blue Beetle director Angel Manuel Soto wants to, or did, pitch a Bane movie that takes place in Matt Reeves' Batman universe. So that seems interesting. What was your take on this?
Oh, that's so interesting. I love Bane. He's such a great character, like a great villain. Like, Batman's rogue gallery is full of winning content. And he's saying he wants to go study someone more with a Latino Caribbean background. And I think that's a great thing to put up on the screen too, as well as all these things that are coming into Matt Reeves' universe. It's very nice. Very cool that they're extending it. And there's so many things that you can explore with a character like Bane. There's trauma, there's addictions. I think it pulls for a very, very good story. And also, like, I think also the Harley Quinn animated series just made Bane so funny.
Yeah, that's my favorite Bane. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So exciting.
I think that it's funny because it could not be more opposite of Blue Beetle. It would have to be a super dark movie, probably rated R. And Blue Beetle was so vibrant and it was so family driven that I think I'd be curious to see what he wanted to pitch. You know, I think with such an opposite tone that you would have to take than Blue Beetle. And it's a shame because I'm not sure what his next move is going to be, because Blue Beetle struggled. And I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it specifically for the reasons that made it kind of a brighter, fun story. The family element. The characters had such a good dynamic. And he was really good at exploring that. So seeing him go so darker, I would say if ever we're in that world where that could happen, I would be absolutely down to watch what he does with it. And we're going to move on to our TV and streaming news. And it looks like we're going to get a fourth season Titans DVD Blu-ray and a complete series Titans DVD and Blu-ray. What do you think of this? Are you gonna pick these up?
You know, I was actually a really big fan of the Titans series. I met the cast in New York Comic Con during season one, so it was fun to see them.
I think I did too. I think. I think we were there together.
And that was really fun. And then also, and then they also came here into Toronto. And I kind of like follow them around the set. So season one and season two, I had a good time, but then I don't know if they just took a long time coming out, but I kind of fell off watching that. Maybe I'll pick it up to complete it, but, it was hard to get into it after the third and fourth season. After the first and second, I couldn't follow it as much, but I mean, it's great. Blu-rays with quality. It's nice to have to someone's collection if you're a Titans fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the show had a really interesting tone. And I have to, you know, it's funny that the fourth season's coming up because that's the season and it's not that I lost interest. It's just that I just have not had time to go back. There's just been so much other content. And it's not that I like it better, but certain things had to come first. So, you know, this is a good way to catch up. And I just want to mention some of the bonus features that are going to be on the, not on the full series DVD and Blu-ray, but on the complete fourth season. You get a Welcome to Metropolis featurette, which kind of explores their version of Metropolis. Because you got to see Gotham, the darkness, and, you know, typical Gotham. But you also got to see, in this new season, Metropolis. Baptism of Blood, which is an inside look at Sebastian Sanger's evolution into the fearsome Brother Blood. The costume designer and Joseph Morgan shows us what it takes to bring Brother Blood to life on Titan. So that should be another interesting little featurette. And we get also Mystical Women. It's an in-depth look at the powerful magic of Mother Mayhem and Jinx and how they brought those to life in the final season. So that's a lot of cool bonus features. And that release date will be October 17th. So if you are interested, mark that down in your calendars, because that is when it'll be released, just in time for the Christmas rush, which probably makes good sense. And our last bit of TV news is that it might not be over for Superman and Lois. It might get a season beyond four. What did you think of this? Are you caught up on Superman and Lois?
It's Season, I have not been watching the latest season. Is that season four? It's out now?
No, season three just.
Oh, yes, caught up on season three. I have not watched season four. I've been excited for season four. So just to hear season, and I just started watching Superman and Lois last year, actually, and it was so good because, like, I wasn't expecting much, just because, like, I have all my feelings with, like, the old Superman and also like Henry Cavill and all this stuff. But then I watched this and I love it. It's so more family oriented. And the actor, he makes such a good like Superman and Clark Kent. So it meshed wonderfully, and balancing with Lois and his family matters. It works really well with what like, Superman and John Kent's doing in the comic books. So it's a nice little mirror of that. So yeah, very exciting that there's news that it may not be the final one. I know it's renewed for a shorter season, for season four. But yeah, like, it's very cool. And I didn't know that it wasn't part of, like, the Arrowverse and the Flash universe. So makes sense they didn't really reference them too much. But I'm wondering if, yeah, there will be other shows coming out. So, like, to build on that universe, that would be interesting.
Yeah, it kind of is connected. I believe he played Superman in Supergirl, and maybe the Crisis. Supergirl. So it is connected. Me though, I am super excited about this because I thought it was a done deal. Yeah. I thought that it was official that was going to be it. And in fact, that it was a gift, like, okay, we're not going to end it, but we'll let you do 10 episodes. The fact that it's going to be continuing maybe beyond that is really good. And I'm caught up, and I really like the Lex Luthor that we're getting in the series. So I kind of want to see that continue. I'd love it if we could get five season, six season, who knows? You know, it's, you know, I'm taking it with a grain of salt because with everything that's going on, I don't know, you know, basically they also, he framed it as watch the show. And if you watch the show and you make it profitable, we'll make more. So go ahead and watch it. So it might just be them trying to get you to watch the show by saying the more you watch, the more we'll make. So that I kind of think that with a grain of salt too, but you know, when it comes right down to it, I would love to see it continue. I agree with you. I think the cast is really amazing. They did
great chemistry.
They did a really good job. And now on to what brought us here in the first place, where all of this content comes from, and that's comics with comic book news. And this might be my favorite story of this episode. We are getting a new limited Batman 89 series and a Superman 78 series. Now, both of the original miniseries that came out over the past years were well received. People loved them. The hardcover collections were beautiful. I think it's great to keep it going. I hope that they can keep that. The tone in both of these books really felt like you were watching movies in those universes, and I hope that they can maintain that. Before I get your take on it, I just want to give a little details about what these series will be. Batman 89 Echoes will come out November 28th. And it will involve the people of Gotham reacting to both the disappearance of Harvey Dent and kind of the disappearance of Batman, and become vigilantes on their own, and how Batman comes back and deals with that. So that's kind of a loose plot outline for that series. And with the Superman series, Russia finds a meteorite from Krypton, and they create their own kind of Superman. So that's that's the little brief outline on that plot. So what do you think? What do you think? You think these are going to be as good as the first?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, we like anything with like these, especially Batman 89 and Superman 78. I think, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but yeah, I think they're going to be great hits. Especially, you said something that I really liked about how these, like, the art, they lay out like a movie, and I think that's what makes it so captivating. They're laid out like poster art, and it's beautiful. So very, very excited about that. We love another detective movie, detective comic series based on Batman, and then also with Superman. Now the Soviet, that's a fun tale. Are they hinting at Red Sun, do you think? Or
well, I don't think, I think they might be setting up some kind of doomsday situation.
Oh.
Because if he could be like mutated through the, I think it would be
like an experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Which is, that's one thing that I'm not sure. I think I would be more curious about the Batman series if I knew who the villain was going to be.
Yes.
Because with Batman, the thing that I like Batman for the most is his villains. He's only as good as the villains he fights. And that's been through the comics, through the movies. I kind of go to see Batman for the villains. So
100%.
I'm really curious who the villain's going to be in this Batman series. But I can't wait for them because the originals were so good. And I don't think that they would put out a sequel to something so successful if they weren't sure it was going to be similarly as good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. And the Superman will be coming out, by the way, on November 7th. So it'll come out a little bit before the Batman series, a few weeks before.
Ooh.
Yep. And this is another one of my favorite stories of this week, is that Jason Aaron is finally coming back to DC to write a new Batman Limited series. What do you think of this?
Oh, that's very exciting. I know like he's quite well known in like Marvel Comics. He's written like Thor's and like the Avengers Assemble or something. The Avengers, something with Marvel. But I've seen like his works there, and they're wonderful and they're really well received, and it's amazing. Yeah, he's coming back for Batman, and it's gonna be, when he said like, yeah, Batman is as great as his villains, I think like people who can make the villains so interesting and intriguing, what Jason Aaron has done before, you're gonna knock out a book of his.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have him back in DC, because I think that his run on Thor was not only one of the best superhero runs on a book in the decade, but maybe of all time. His Thor run, if you haven't read it, it is so worth picking up. It's so good. So I am just so excited to have him back, because I haven't, even with this podcast, I haven't been able to talk about it much because he's been writing so much Marvel stuff. But welcome back. He's a great writer. So the story is that a young Batman faces a foe that's basically otherworldly, and he has to go off planet. Normally, if I would read that, I would say, oh brother, okay, I'd like it, but I was like, yeah, okay. But in Jason Aaron's hands, that could be something really cool. So yeah, I'm welcome back. I'm happy to have him. I love his stuff, so I'm looking forward to it. And with the last bit of comic news, it's as if he's not writing enough. Joshua Williamson is going to be writing a Dawn of DC series, Batman and Robin, which kind of takes place after Batman vs. Robin and Lazarus Planet. So they're now back on the same team, ready to fight together again. What do you think of this? Are you gonna pick this issue up?
Yeah, I'd love to. But like, I'll also ask Steve if I can review it. I love Bruce Wayne and Damian Wayne adventures, or anyone with him and like the Batkid. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Art style looks amazing. If it's based anywhere from like the cover, has the does the art is that the comic book cover that's released?
Yes,
Has
we
that
did.
been released?
So,
Looks
yeah,
very. Oh
it
yes,
was.
I love that style.
Yeah, we did get some clips of the style. Yeah, and the art does look great.
Epic.
So,
That's
yeah.
an epic cover.
Now, my thing is that Joshua Williamson has really kind of recreated the DCU in his image because he's been writing so much stuff, and he's only one person. So it makes me wonder how much stuff can this guy write a month before the quality starts to wane, pun intended. But so we'll see. I mean, the guy's talented, and I think he'll do fine. And you can't. It's like it's impossible to have too much Batman. That's how popular Batman
Agreed.
is. Batman is hands down the most popular superhero. Will always sell. So it makes sense to, get the band back together in a new comic because people just love Batman and they like Robin. And like you said, I think people like that chemistry or interplay between Damian and Bruce because Damian can be such a little brat. And that's,
Yes.
I'd use other words if I could on the podcast, but let's just stick with that. He can
Yeah.
be a real he can
I
really
mean,
be a
James
real
Gunn
pain.
said something recently that he's a son of
Yeah.
Yeah,
There you go. So
like
that's
little
always
brat.
yeah, and that's always fun to explore. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Now we have a few other news stories. This is a very angering story here. It makes me angry. A Georgia principal cancels a speech by Mark Nolan about Bill Finger because it mentions the word gay. What was your take on this?
I mean, in this day and age, why is
Well,
this
that's scary.
happening? It's Georgia. But like, unfortunately, like, yeah, like that Bible Belt, like those states, like they, yeah, and doesn't make any of it right. And it's such a small mention. It's not like it's,
Yes.
yeah, it's very angering. I'm shocked it happens. I know, like we'll talk about it like at the end, but like just like in front of like our comic conventions here in Toronto, there's like people who are like religious and like not like the fanatics, and they'll like yell at like the cosplayers like that they're sitting, and it's like what about this? It's just people being creative, people being artists, and there's nothing wrong with being queer, being gay. It's awful.
This is
Bad.
fascism.
Yeah.
That's what it is. People think, oh, it can't happen here. People are overreacting. No, it's a perfect example of fascism and why we hate book bannings and book burnings and the way these people are taking over school boards. It's pure evil. And it's a slap. Okay, first of all, the Bill Finger story is incredible. What he went through, what he did, and the whole story, trying to maintain and strengthen his legacy and have these things kind of happen is an insult. And it kind of is a slap in the face to the comics as a medium too, because it's like it frames it as kid stuff, and I don't think anybody with any sense at all really thinks comics are just kid stuff anymore. Kids can hear the word gay. This just is, it's a tragedy because yes, these things are happening. People say, oh, they're not really saying don't say gay. Well, this is a perfect example of yes, this is happening. It's happening here. It's happening right now. You got to be aware because it's just going to be worse. So yeah, this is. Makes me furious. next story is a little bit lighter. McFarlane Toys, great as always, have revealed an exclusive Green Lantern and Black Lightning figure. What did you think of these figures?
Oh, the Green Lantern one looks very scary.
Yes.
That's the one that takes my eyes most, but the others look good. McFarlane does a great job. But yeah, the scary Green Lantern.
It'll depict Hal Jordan.
DC versus vampires, which, yeah, I love that.
Yes, it's like the vampire version. It is pretty frightening, which just goes to show just how crazy great McFarlane Toys are at sculpting. I am not a collector of toys, but every time I look at these McFarlane figures, I'm just completely, completely blown away. The look of the fangs, and from a DC fan's perspective, the characters that he's choosing to make are from his multiverse line are really cool, like the vampire Green Lantern. I never would have thought that we would get a vampire Green Lantern figure. Yet here we are. So,
yes, McFarlane Toys. Manifesting a Dark Knights of Steel figure, please.
Oh, I'm sure that will happen at some point. I mean, I think that's, yeah. And I'm a fan of Black Lightning, so I'm glad that we're going to get a Black Lightning figure. I think we're due for a McFarlane Black Lightning figure. Yeah. So, you know, I'm all for it. And we also got a leaked image. This is our final story of the night. We got a leaked image from the upcoming Wonder Woman video game. It's open world. And there hasn't been a lot of news released about this game since they announced it. Now we're getting a little bit of a leaked image that looks really cool. What do you think? Do you play video games? Are you a gamer?
I do play. Yeah, I play a couple of thumbs. A lot of like Switch games. And I played all the Arkham series. All of them. They're so fun. This looks so good. The concept art, it looks epic. And also, we haven't had, I don't think, is there a Wonder Woman game? I don't think so. I've not heard one. So this is very exciting. The art looks fantastic. And I know games, like, they're so secretive with their news, because, you know, it's so easy to hack, to steal, you know, and take away the codes. So the concept art looks stunning. She looks fierce. And yeah, I'd be so excited to play this. This looks dope.
You know, basically, I love the idea of playing a big open world Wonder Woman game. I'm on board already. Mm-hmm. And this image, as great as it is, you're right. She looks fierce. She looks mean. But is it the final design we're going to get? Is this what she's going to look like in game? Or is this just like a promo image, you know? So
yeah, it looks like a cover art piece.
Yeah, you're right. That would be a great cover. So I just, you know, we'll see what happens. I wish they would tell us more. I wish they didn't have to leak things. I wish they would come out and show us. So maybe this will kind of force their hand, and we'll get to learn more about, you know, more about the game soon.
I like your secrecy though, because I feel like DC sometimes it gives us like, all, like, you know, like says a lot, but then says nothing at the same time, leaving us like, what's going on? So I like this ominous and then surprise.
I'm patient when it comes to video games. I don't mind video game delays or waiting a while, because nothing's worse than a buggy product. You want to play a game on the first day and it glitches out. I had that experience with Arkham Knight. Tried to play it on PC and it just, when it came out, and that was a whole big fiasco. So I don't want that to happen again. So I'm willing to wait. But this, so far, this is looking like it's going to be worth the wait. So I'm super psyched. And before we say goodbye to our listeners, so you went to Fan Expo this weekend. You went.
Did.
But, what did you see? What'd you hear? Any announcements? Any?
I was like, yeah, it was so much fun. So I went to Fan Expo Canada. It's apparently, I could be wrong, but third or fourth largest convention in North America. But number one in Canada. It's like 120,000 people. It's so crowded. The cosplays were so pleasant and so nice. I guess the highlight of like my day today was I went to the Frank Miller panel and got to check out like him talking about his old works. This one was more focused on the 300, but I did find some quotes I really liked him saying. He was talking about how he makes his heroes, and one thing he wrote was like a hero is defined by a hostile world. And I thought that was really cool because, yeah, like, that's why, like, we love, like, Batman, because his enemies just always get you. And he always makes his characters, like, go through trials and tribulations and he just pounds them down. And another cool part that I liked him talking about, we mentioned how, like, Batman 89, like, the art's so poster-like. And he talked about why that's, like, not Batman 89, of course, like, but how his works, they're very posterized. And the reason why like he likes to do that is because other media is so much more powerful or more popular, like film, television, and media. But comics have the power of like art to posterize their media, and that makes it like powerful. And he also says that this medium, like it's a medium of his age, and comics found a way to use this posterized art style as a way to convey their messages, make things so interesting and exciting. So yeah, I just also really like love hearing him talk about comics. He's The Dark Knight Returns is one of my favorite comics, and so it was a pleasure seeing him. And general like con energy, con vibes. I was like running around having a lot of fun.
Did DC have a booth?
They did have a booth. Do you mean like panels that they talk about?
No, not the panels, but like in the exhibit floor, like
They did. They did have a booth. Yeah. okay. This year, usually we get really big folks in. Like I've met Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo and Jim Lee, all at Fan Expo Canada. I've even had one-on-one times with them. But this year, it looks like there wasn't as much. Tom Grummet is there. And he those of you, he did the line work for the Death of Superman comics. He's actually a fellow Canadian, so that's really fun. not too many DC comic creators came out, but it was still, I think, like, it's been a little quieter. Like we were talking about it earlier. We had a lot of like cancellations and people won't be talking their panels a lot because of the writer strike and actor strike. So it was
I went to San Diego. I talked a little bit about it on the podcast, wrote a few news stories about it.
So cool. You went there.
Yeah. It was very calm too. And I remember Jim Lee's panel, and he said, "Oh, what do you know? A Comic-Con about comics, you know, because mostly people go there for the movies and TV, and he didn't really have that this year." But it was, yeah, San Diego was the same way, but it was still packed. They had a really nice DC booth. But one thing that I found a little bit frustrating, and this wasn't just the DC booth, is that they would. I wanted to get a Sandman shirt that they were selling, for instance. And once you were in line, sometimes they would cut the lines off. So I would go back. Oh, nope. Line's tapped. Come back in a couple hours. Like, finally, I got the, you know, but as annoying as that was, that's good. That means that people were really responding to the DC stuff and merch they wanted to meet. I wasn't able to see any of the booth signings because I did go to a lot of DC panels. I went to the Jim Lee panel, the Superman panel, the Batman panel, but it was called Gotham City. The DC Young Readers panel, which was fun because DC's been knocking it out of the park with the younger reader graphic novels and YA graphic novels. So it was fun to hear that, which I wrote news stories on that up on the site. I think that it was easier to navigate. And also what we were talking about before is that there was a time when I plan on going back. So it was like a learning year for me. Now I'll know where things are when I go back, and that'll be fun. Like it's bigger, you know, so it was great.
I've heard people saying it's overwhelming. So having a few less things to go to might have helped with that.
Yeah, I find it comparable to what New York Comic Con is. So it wasn't, and it's, in New York can get overwhelming too. So to me, my experience with San Diego is that it was just on that same level as New York Comic Con.
Oh, that's nice.
But when the actors return, that could totally change. So yeah, I mean, it's I'm so glad cons are back.
Yes.
So nice to have fans together again, and
absolutely
everybody wants to be there, and it's great.
Yeah, it's like COVID never happened. No one wore a mask.
Yeah, no. I mean, not unless it was a costume.
Oh yeah.
You know, but the same way, there wasn't a lot of the masks, you know, people masking up. So All right, with that, we'll bring this episode of the DC Comics News Podcast to an end. Welcome back, Sharna, and you can tell people where they can find you online, where they can read your work.
Yeah, I write often reviews for Dark Knight News. So if you look up my name, Sharna Jahangir, and then, at Katsuya Crimson on Twitter. Thank you.
Okay, well, I can find me writing news reviews at DC Comics News. Find me on, and I say this every week because I want to get back to recording it, the Mad Love Harley Quinn podcast. I've also done an episode with Steve of the I Am the Knight, which is the episode by episode breakdown of the Batman animated series, which is also part of the DC Comics News podcast network. And I might be on a few more episodes of that in the future. And as far as DC Comics News, you can find us on all social media, DC Comics News. You can find us all wherever you get your podcast. Stitcher is going away, but you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or I should say Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. You can find us on YouTube. And with that, we like to end the show by saying something that everybody should be doing, and that is to read
more comics.
Woo, yes. All right, everybody, have a good week, and we'll be back to talk more DC news soon.
Thanks so much.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.